All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network. Oh, my God. www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check it out. We just signed up our 12th podcaster, KDP. OG KDP. Excited. Shocked. Thrilled. Everything. No, it's exciting. You know, we started this podcast network just having fun. And, you know, I guess if you get enough people having fun, other people want to join the fun. So we're excited. We just actually brought in two new podcasters, in fact, Terrell and KDP. So check them out. They're doing it. Give them a shot. You know, if you like what you hear, share it. Let them know. They'd appreciate it. So what's happening? Good morning. It's been a couple days. I'm hanging in there, right? It's a beautiful, what's today? Tuesday. What's the date? The 30th. Beautiful morning. A little chilly still, but I think we're headed to warmer days. It has been, a lot of stuff's going on. You know, just hanging in there. You know, we're still grinding through this pandemic, getting our shots. Hopefully everyone's getting a shot. I've had my first one. I need to get my second one. But geez, you watch the news, it doesn't sound like, I don't know, maybe none of people are getting shots, but it seems really sketchy still. So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about the first step. And it is so important for me to not forget the first step. The first step in, and so we'll just use the first step from AA. You know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable. We admitted we were powerless. I love that. It's like you can't do it by yourself. You know, that's why there's success in 12-step programs or groups, is because it's a group. You become accountable, right? You know, the Army just doesn't send in one man, maybe, if he's like Tom Cruise or something, but usually it takes a team. You train together, you build confidence together, and you fight the battle together. So when it says we admitted, right away it's changing, or it should be changing, or it might change, I don't know. But usually, I know for me, coming out of what I was in, it was a one-man band. It was me, myself, and I. The only time there was ever a we is if I needed a ride to get something or we went in together on something. But that was about as far as the we went. We partied together, but in the end, it was a me, myself, and I. So to start off the first step of a program to change my life, and the first word is we, was something new. And it's funny because I think about that the day, or, you know, back in those days when I first got sober, and, you know, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. All I heard was alcohol and lives unmanageable. And the definition for lives unmanageable back then was me not getting what I want and me getting caught at doing the thing that I love doing. That became unmanageable. You know, it's taken me years to start to understand what really the first step meant. We admitted. That means I'm no good at this. I don't do this very well. I get caught at this. I fuck up while I'm doing this. So it was the first honest bit of humility that came out of my mouth. And I never even knew it. Didn't even know it. Blah, 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 alcohol, blah, 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 unmanageable. That's really all that I heard. So to say that I whizzed right through the first step would be, I would not be lying. I whizzed right through it. We admitted, yes, alcohol, me, alcohol, and trouble the trifecta. We go together. So it was easy to admit, but after getting sober and or actually after putting down the drink and working a program and drinking and doing it and coming back and drinking and drugging and doing it and all the shit that I've gone through, I look back and I think I take a look at that first step. We admitted. That takes humility. You know, I love hearing to people talk about addiction and but it's a disease of self. It's a self-centered disease. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. So what does this program offer me? The first or the second word in this program for me to in a step to read is admitted. We admitted we were powerless. It doesn't say we admitted we were powerless and our lives had become unmanageable. It says we admitted we were powerless. Just take that. When is it the steps that we admitted we were powerless over self and our lives have become unmanageable? Because that's kind of what it is. You know, this program was created for people that drank too much alcohol, but, you know, for me, it's, you know, whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, whether it's food, it's all those seven deadly sins, those gluttony, you know. We admitted we were powerless over gluttony and that our lives have become unmanageable. We admitted we were powerless over food and our lives have become unmanageable. We admitted we were powerless over oxys and our lives have become unmanageable. We admitted we were, you know, whatever. We admitted we were powerless. What's the first step when it comes to fixing an argument that you may have gotten into with a friend or a family member? You know, someone's got to surrender. You know, my wife and I got in a little bit of a tiff last night over, I guess, just me being a know-it-all, I guess. I don't really know. But I know that her and I, she mentioned something. I was not really a big fan of the idea. She was a little, I don't know, annoyed that I wasn't a big fan of the idea. And she really shut down. Shut it down. And I was like, listen, let's not do that. Let's not shut it down. You know, I'm sorry. I surrendered. I'm sorry. I admitted I was wrong. I should have, you know, sometimes I'm like a horse running around in a big field. I'm just running all around. And sometimes I got to be reined in, you know. And I didn't really think. And I said, listen, I'm sorry. I don't want you to shut down. I want to, you know, I love her and I've always been able to communicate. I don't want to lose that. So I surrendered. If I hadn't, because self would be like, listen, you're probably sort of right. You can hold on to this. Let's, you know, I could get out the shovel and dig the foxhole and, you know, get in the trenches and fight it out for a couple of days. But I was like, nah, I don't want to. I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't trying to be like that. I kind of jumped to some conclusions, and it wasn't really fair. And instead of fight all night, because I don't want to, I just said, listen, I don't shut down. I'm sorry. You know, I guess this is why I reacted the way I did. It's kind of like getting sober. Right or wrong. I remember when I got a DUI and I had to do this drunk class. And the lady's like, you know, you're not allowed to drink. And I was like, and I thought to myself, why? I'm 21. And I probably shared this before, but I drank the whole time during this DUI class. And at the end of the class, she said, did anybody drink during this this program? And I raised my hand and I said, I did. I was arrogant. Of course I did. It's not against the law. I'm not driving, right? Because I don't have a car and I don't have a license. So I'm not driving. So what's the difference? What's the problem? And so I said, I drank. She said, okay, well, then you do not get your license back. And you can continue to come to the class. And I was like, what? I remember my mom was so pissed. I'm like, I'm of age. Not against the law. No, it wasn't. And then I remember she told me, she basically said, listen, I don't care what the fuck you do, but if you drink, keep it to yourself. Genius. And, you know, gave me the wink. And I'm like, oh, got it. And so I continued to drink. And then when she asked me after another 4 weeks of this program, has anybody drank? I said, not me. Got my license back. But it's that moment where how long do I want to do this for? Right or wrong? And I know for me, I was beaten down. Self had taken a beating and basically exited the building. He will be back, but at that time he was gone and I was available. And I know that it just felt good to not be drunk. And then I've shared this and, you know, but it would take years before I would come back and I would listen to that. We admitted we were powerless. Probably the first humble thing I'd ever done. But I still thought it was because of alcohol. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable because of alcohol. You know, you give me however many words that's in that first step, and I will add some and remove them. And I added because of alcohol at the end. So as far as I was concerned, quitting alcohol fixed the problem. So at that point, pretty much, I was just kind of hanging out. I was on the bus, but I wasn't paying attention. And I've talked about it. I had a great temporary sponsor and then my first sponsor when we went through the steps, but I never had really paid attention to the first step. You know, admitted to me was like, you know, the flashlight's on you, you're standing in the corner, hands up. Okay, you got me. Boom, admitted. I'm in here. You got me. Like there is, you're pushed far enough into the corner, just there's nowhere else to go. And finally, you go, finally, you got me. All right, you got me. I admit it. But, you know, put me in a wide open field, and I'm going to shuck and jive as much as I can until I finally get pressed into the corner, until I finally have to admit it. But until then, I'm going to avoid it. And that night, I got shoved in the corner. You got me. Fine. I'll go along with you. This isn't the first time I'd done this. Go along with the program. With no intentions of getting better. I had intentions of getting better this time, I think, but it was just, it would look a little different. So years later to come back, we admitted we were powerless, and I started to understand that I'm a self-centered asshole. So really, you know, if I'm going to take a hard look at this first four words, you know, self wants me to be alone, so get with the group, we, and then to surrender, admit, I got a problem. And then to try to understand that it's a disease of self. This disease shows up all throughout the day. You know, it's that fork in the road. There's me, what I want, and what I should do. And, you know, that what I want shows up a lot. Which is most of the time it's not, you know, wrecking my family or wrecking my life or wrecking my reputation. I feel like life is just about making life more convenient. I mean, it's what we do. But if it said, we admitted we were powerless over self, and that our lives have become unmanageable, maybe more people would start to kind of understand maybe what they're stressed out about. I got lucky. I happen to be fond of a chemical that will wreck your life. But you could be powerless over food. You can be powerless over money. You can be powerless over pride. Pride is a sin. I don't know what I was watching, but they were talking about this, you know, the sin of pride. You know, like this, you know, making yourself to appear more or be more or to fool yourself. Prideful. We admitted we were powerless over pride and that our lives had become unmanageable. We admitted we were powerless over clothing. You know, it's a whole lot of stuff. It just happens to be the one that I ended up having the most of is the one that's like you really have to address. I mean, you don't have to. You can do whatever you want, but I had to. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. It's also tricky because powerless over alcohol, I mean, I never felt I was powerless over alcohol. Like, I didn't sit there and go, no, no alcohol, no. And then the alcohol, like, the cap just screwed off on its own as I held it like a chicken. No. And it fought me, and then it just poured itself into my mouth. No. I was only powerless over alcohol when I got in car crashes and arguments and fights. I loved it. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable to everybody else.
I didn't know where to look for you last night. Didn't know where to find you. I didn't know how I could touch that light that's always gathering behind you. I didn't know that I would find a way to find you in the morning. Love can pull you out of yesterday, as it takes you without warning. I wanna be a longtime friend to you. I wanna be a long time known, not one of your memories. Summer's fading song. It's from me, it's to you, for your eyes. It's a way, a wonder that is wise. I am here, you are there. Love is out. I know I'll think of us upon that hill with the golden moon arising, and the stars will fall around us still while the love is realizing. Until we meet again, and I throw my arms around you, you can count the gray hairs in my head, I'll still be thankful that I found you. It's from me, it's to you, for your eyes. It's a way, wonder that is wise.
Wow. What a freaking great song that is. John Gorka. Wow. This is our cross to bear. This is my cross to bear. This is my cross to bear. And, you know, sharing my story, you know, is all I can do. Shine a little light. You know, if I could try to understand, and the interesting thing with any, for me, is as far as sobriety goes, I have to evolve through it, right? You just got to hang on, right? I just have to hang on. And if I can surround myself with people and sponsors and, you know, someone told me the other day, they said, becoming friends with you, they all of a sudden became friends with a group of people that are sober. And I go, man, back in the day, when you became friends with me, I brought a whole fucking circus with me. And I don't do that today. You know, this person meets a lot of people that know me through sobriety. We're all sober. And he's shocked. He's like, I can't believe all these people that are sober. He's like, I must have had the blinders on. And I go, well, you know, I can't say that everybody living a decent life is sober, but there's a big chunk of us out there that are hanging on. And that's what it takes, man. You got to get a little of the, I shared this. I remember that first time I drove not drunk. That first memory, that first positive feeling. It was that bad. I was that at the bottom. I'm like, wow, this feels really good to not drive my car drunk. It had become that simple, and you just get that little feeling, and you start gathering those little feelings, and you just hold on. Fucking hold on, man. The best we can do, just hold on, and you hope that you gather enough positive feelings that when those times come where we think we're just here because we drank too much and we're just not quite ready and completely. I know, I just didn't quite understand. I just thought I had a drinking problem. And every day that went by was one day farther away from the day that I had my problem. We admitted we were powerless. We admitted we were powerless as a daily occurrence. I'm powerless over tons of shit. It happens all the time. I'm powerless over fucking getting aggravated in traffic. I'm powerless over becoming annoyed at waiting for things. I'm annoyed. I mean, it's one event after another. Until I understood that, I'm just a guy succeeding because I'm not drinking. And that shit fades, man. It fades, and eventually that bitch comes showing back up, and next thing you know, next thing I knew, I was fucking having a drink. All right, let's read the daily reflections. Wrap this up a bit. Send us on our way. Take everything we learned in this amazing podcast and put it to work in your life. It's all about surrender, people. How long do you want to fight? I could still be fighting with my wife today. We could still be battling it out, but I said no. All right. Ooh, this is, sounds like... All right. March 30th, our group conscience. Sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. Sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. Sometimes the good is the enemy of the best. That's deep. Okay. I think these words apply to every... Okay, sorry. It's been a couple days, folks. Here we go. I think these words apply to every area of AA's three legacies: recovery, unity, and service. I want them etched in my mind and life as I trudge the road of happiness, destiny. As I trudge the road of happy destiny. These words, often spoken by co-founder Bill W., were appreciatively said to him as a result of the group's conscience. It brought home to Bill W. the essence of our second tradition. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Just as Bill W. was originally urged to remember, I think that in our group discussions, we should never settle for the good, but always strive to attain the best. These common strivings are yet another example of a loving God, as we understand him, expressing himself through the group conscience. Experiences such as these help me to stay on the proper path to recovery. I learned to combine initiative and humility, responsibility and thankfulness, and thus relish the joy of living my 24-hour program. Yeah, that didn't really go along with what I've been talking about, but that's all right. It's all good. Absolutely. I guess my message today, the message that I'm going to take from this today is that I'm just going, you know, when I come to that moment, you know, if I have options, if I have an option to surrender, if I have an option, because I will today, I'm working, I'm booked all day. Right away, I'm doing what I don't really want. I mean, I love working, but I prefer to be, you know, doing something else. Even though when I do something else, I wish I was working. I'm fucking unpleasable. But I will have, you know, 9 relationships today. You know, I will have 9 conversations with clients, and there will be, you know, 9 different people. And, you know, I have an amends to make to a client, really, because I got pissed off about this border topic. And, I really should have kept my mouth shut, and I had an opinion. And I thought I was right. And at that moment, I should have said, shut the fuck up, you dumb fucking idiot, and keep your mouth closed. But no, that's what I should have done, but I did what I wanted to. There you go, right there. We admitted we were powerless over self, that our lives had become unmanageable. I'm admitting that I had become powerless over my mouth the other day, and now I'm having to live with that. You know, I might have lost a client. You know? It shows up all the time, but it's been, you know, in December, I'll celebrate 13 years of sobriety. But here it is, right here. And I will have it all throughout the day. And so do I want to, right or wrong, do I need to make it a point? No. I need to surrender, and I need to just kind of chill and be like, this ain't important. This isn't important. And there's nothing more weird than when I make that choice, this isn't important, and then let somebody continue to kind of, you know, it's like walking up to a dam and you see water pouring out and you're like, do I plug it? Do I save the world and plug the dam? No, I'm just going to keep, I'm minding my own business, I'm minding my own dam, and I'm just going to let it, you know, and you sit there at the bank and you watch the water pour out, and there's nothing, you know, you've made the choice, you're not going to do anything about it. You're okay with it. And that's like conversations or relationships. Sometimes, you know, you have to keep your freaking mouth shut. And when I do make mistakes, I need to be able to surrender and say, listen, you know what, you're right, I apologize. I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. And hopefully we kind of, you know, work our way through it and get to, you know, find some peace. And that doesn't have anything to do with drinking. You know, one day, when we finally quit drinking, you know, we got to make a life for ourselves. We can't drag that same fucked up life into our new sober life and expect to be ecstatic about it and not, you know, and not eventually bring the last thing that's missing in the life that we brought over into our new life, which is alcohol.
I am here, you are there, love is our cross to bear, love is our